WDRBY, Roller Derby Radio, is proud to present Q-Tips with Electrocution, legendary player for the Carolina Roller Girls. Send your questions in right now to electrocution at carolinarollergirls.com. That's ELEKTRAQTION at carolinarollergirls.com. And now, get ready for Electrocution, only on WDRBY, Roller Derby Radio.
All right, and welcome to another Wednesday for Q's Tips. You're on live with Electrocution from the Carolina Roller Girls. If you want to reach me, you can find me at electrocution at carolinarollergirls.com, or you can find me on Facebook under Renee Q McHugh, because Facebook stole my name and doesn't look like they're giving it back anytime soon. Damn them. Anyway, so if you want to reach us, please, you know, log in and message me or hit me up on my profile. Tonight's guests are Daisy Rage and Walter White. We have Collision, and we have Junior Raleigh Junior Roller Derby, right? And so y'all talk a little bit about how long have you been in Derby, and what brought you to Derby, and what brought you here as Junior Roller Derby coaches. So Walter, you want to go first?
Sure. I've been in Derby now for 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Fairy Brutal got me into Derby. She met her at work and pulled me into it and hooked ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess 2.5 years ago, I started coaching juniors.
Mm-hmm. What brought you into coaching juniors?
Originally, I think it was Woodier, Hot Mess Express. She Facebook messaged me asking if I could help out on Tuesdays, and we had a weekday practice, and I was doing those, and then got more and more into it.
Okay.
And I hooked on it.
And you're hooked on a feeling now.
Yeah.
Do you have any free time at all, personal free time, since you do Collision and you're doing the Junior Roller Derby? And seems like I see you out doing Collision, trivia nights and everything. On your off nights, do you ever not do roller derby stuff?
Well, Tuesday is more of a, it's like you meet them in Derby, but you become friends, so it's just friends drinking and doing trivia, and then maybe it's a couple of weekdays, but weekends it's all Derby.
It's all Derby all the time. Yeah.
Collision Saturday nights.
Yep.
Collision. Juniors on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a lot. All right, and my other guest, Daisy Rage, you want to talk about your long Derby career?
Well, the person that got me into Derby was Misfit, actually, from Carolina Roller Girls. And I tried out 2006. Was pretty hardcore with CRG until 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as RJR started an all-star team, that's when I joined them.
Okay.
And so my goal was to just coach the all-stars, do the competitive part of it, and have Hot Mess and Liz do...
Yeah, like the training part.
Yeah.
But now you're sucked into everything, right?
Now I'm... Yeah.
And what are your roles in Junior Roller Derby for the Raleigh Junior Rollers?
I do the interleague coordination stuff, so I'm the Jerta rep, and schedule all the games, both home and away, and do the training of the All-Stars.
Very nice.
All right, and I'm in the coaching position on the board, so it's my job to find the new coaches, pick out equipment, and figure out league practice.
And where do you guys practice?
We practice at United Skates on Trawick Road, used to be Skate Ranch.
And how many times a week?
We practice once a week.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have an hour-long all-star practice and then a two-hour league practice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it'll be an hour league and then an hour scrimmage.
Okay. And how many people or how many skaters do you guys have in RJR at this time?
We have about 30.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Nice number. Mm-hmm. Do you train any junior refs?
Not yet.
Well, we had Zach show up once or twice and then...
But not yet, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really cool when I see the junior games and there's a junior ref out there. I'm always like, yay!
Well, when we went to Spring Loaded in Pittsburgh this year, there was a kid that was a junior ref there, and that's what he did. He was a ref, and he was better than a lot of the adult refs that I know. So
story of our lives, right? So, so you mentioned Spring Loaded. So, can you want to talk about that a little bit? What is it? Why did you go?
I think Spring Loaded was adults and juniors, but it was put on by the Pittsburgh Derby Brats. And so it was just a training. They had, Teflon Donna was there. B. Diva was there. Who else was there?
I don't remember.
I don't either. don't know, a bunch of people.
Bunch of people.
People doing things.
Yeah. So you had adults and were there just adults skating with adults, or were there just kids together, or were there a mix, or what was going on?
I don't remember.
I wasn't there. I was.
I don't remember. I don't remember yesterday, so I don't remember.
All right.
It all blurs together.
All of Derby blurs together, yeah, if you think about it too much. All right, so we have a lot of questions that are based on junior roller derby in general, and we also have just normal roller derby questions as well. So the first one is from Karina Hurley. What challenges are you involved in bringing juniors into adult leagues once they've aged out?
We haven't actually experienced this yet. I think our oldest skater is 16 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 2 years to figure it out.
Yeah, I think the closest we got was, how old was Dawson? He was
16.
He was 16. Mm-hmm. So he would be the closest one to age out. But as far as, like, I mean, and he did practice sometimes with Collision.
Yeah, we did a couple of our practices.
Mm-hmm.
But then at 16, it's life happens. You got to get ready for, like, college, interns, jobs.
Jobs, that's right. A big thing, yeah.
College.
You know, distraction. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm wondering, because you guys are not affiliated with an adult league. You, mm-hmm, you work with some of the adult leagues, but you're not affiliated. So it's not like they automatically go directly.
Yeah, there's no farm, right, or feeding or anything like that.
But they do know of their options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's interesting. So you have yet to deal with that, but you have time to kind of get ready for it when it does happen.
Right.
That's interesting. Are you going to have like a little like graduation ceremony for that person or something? That might be kind of cool. They're looking at me funny. I thought it'd be cute. Like, here, you get to go with the big boys and the big girls now.
That could be something fun to do.
Yeah.
2 years to figure it out.
Yeah, you got 2 years.
Sounds like a lot of work.
All right, how can junior leagues best prepare their older skaters for that transition?
Well, I don't know. I mean, so as far as the All-Stars go, I mean, we start them off. They know that it's competitive. They know that they have to work hard. They know that it's a competitive roster picking situation. Mm-hmm. They have to try out for All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like it's like brownies into Girl Scouts kind of thing. I mean, they already know that there are these levels that they have to meet and these things that they have to do. So I think that kind of preps them for the adult derby, depending on what the adult derby league they go to.
Right. Could be like more competitive or less competitive league, and it depends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really interesting because a lot of people, you know, come into a derby as adults,
mm-hmm,
and they're not necessarily aware of the hierarchy of competitiveness, mm-hmm, in leagues, and it depends on what league you're in, you know. But I've seen a lot of butthurt happen because they don't understand that, mm-hmm, this is competitive, and that means that you have to work really hard, or you have to, you know, be really talented, or whatever.
Right. We already broke their butthurt at 12, so.
Yeah.
Well, hooray for that.
So now they know.
That's awesome.
It'd be cool to see, like, some of these kids start aging into adult derby, because they already have, like, 6+ years of skating experience,
mm-hmm,
while most adults are just learning how to skate when they're
Exactly. All right, what percentage of junior skaters would you say continue playing with an adult league once they age out, especially if the junior league is not affiliated with any adult leagues? And I know you guys said you haven't had this happen, but you know other leagues. Do you know... Mm-hmm. How many, or roughly how many, or guess?
I don't know number-wise, because junior derby is relatively new. Kind, mm-hmm, of like women's derby started, then men's, then juniors. Like, so, I mean, junior derby still is relatively new in,
right,
terms of, like, aging out and things like that. But, you know, I mean, look at Lauren Mutch. Look,
right,
at, you know, other skaters that age into, like, amazing leagues.
Mm-hmm. Like Gotham, I know, has a really strong program. So, mm-hmm, I think they're starting to reap,
right,
the benefits, yeah, of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, you know, you were talking about jobs happen and college happens. I mean, we've seen it with some of our very young skaters who are 18 who come into roller derby gung-ho, and then, oh, college happens, mm-hmm, and oh, wow, college is a lot more fun than showing up and sweating for 2 hours every other night.
College is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, I think it's the same kind of thing. I mean, people, if they're really into it, they're going to be really into it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not. So, but, you know, and if something shiny attracts them a different direction, then they're going to go in that different direction. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's hard to say whether or not it's based on age or whether it's just personal preference.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, is junior derby any more or less time consuming, expensive, stressful, etc., for both skaters and parents than any other youth sport?
Time consuming, not so much for us, just because we only have one practice a week.
Mm-hmm.
But we do travel some,
right,
and we do have home team games that we require everybody to volunteer for, and I think that's the biggest difference between derby, you know, like, you know, junior derby and, say, kids soccer or youth baseball is that that stuff is handled for you.
Right.
You don't, I mean, you bring snack once a week or you might work the concession stand.
Right.
But we lay down the track and we have to have somebody bring the chairs and we have to have somebody run the AV equipment and we have to, I mean, there's a lot more volunteer, like a lot more hands-on. And I think a lot of people aren't prepared for that when they first get into it, just like adult derby.
Oh yeah. I didn't know. Yeah. I was like, you just skate, right? No. And so, yeah. So do you get a lot of pushback from parents?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Not a ton though.
No, usually like about a month and a half or 2 months, a month and a half before a game starts, Farrah will send out a spreadsheet. Hey, here's what we need to get stuff done. And then people start signing up and then maybe bug the people that haven't signed up yet.
But I think as RJR has developed over time, you know, we're getting more and more, I guess, things kind of getting more organized and, and we have more, like, parents know more what is expected of them. We have, you know, we've started having parent meetings where informational kind of meetings and things
You're
like that.
You're known quality now.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it's like, instead of just being like, we all get together and we skate and you do this, you do this, you do this, it's more...
Yeah, we tried quarterly to have like a scrimmage where the parents can come in and learn the NSO spots too. So
that's very cool.
You can have our own NSO crew.
That's very nice.
We've only done that once so far.
Hey,
it's quarterly.
At least it's once. do you guys try to limit the home games that you put on because of the, you know, the extra volunteer, or do you just kind of do what you can?
We try to do about one a month, whether it's away or home.
Okay, cool. Very neat. Right, what successful techniques have junior leagues found for recruiting?
We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. A lot of our skaters came from parents of people who already played derby. And then when they start skating, they bring their friends in.
Right.
It's a lot of word of mouth.
Well, when it first started, I don't know how they put the word out there, because I know it was Larry and Heather and Liz that kind of like spearheaded that entire thing. So I don't know how they got the word out.
Yeah, that was all before we started. Yeah,
I think I saw some flyers and I think I, you know, saw some stuff, you know, posted places and on, obviously on Facebook. But I don't think I really paid too much attention to it because they were like, this is our thing. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, you do your thing. But it was interesting because I think it's really grown from then.
Well, a lot of it is word of mouth. I mean, it's, you know, kids find kids from school and they bring them to practice, and or they see some kids skating somewhere, or a friend of theirs does it and they heard about it, and so they look into it.
Well, it was funny. My next door neighbors have a little boy, and he had gone to the game on a Saturday or whenever we had the game a couple weeks ago, and he's like, "Wow, that's so cool!" I'm like, "You know, you want to do it?" And I'm like, "Can send him all the junior, you know, the junior roller derby stuff." And he was like, "I want to do this," you know.
Yeah.
So they saw the adults doing it, and they were like, "We could do that." So I guess that can help too. That can be a good advertising. All right. Next question is from Brianna Kappel. Have these juniors also faced a feeling of not being taken seriously?
Absolutely.
And how do they overcome it? Did they overcome it? And do they feel like age is a barrier or not? It's a lot of questions.
I don't think age is a barrier, but I think people don't take roller derby seriously.
Right.
I mean, Ruby has gotten really irritated at some of her friends at school that say, that's not a sport.
Yeah.
She takes exception to that.
Well, yeah, I'm sure she does. So she truly is a roller derby girl.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, so I think it's just like any other roller derby thing.
Yeah.
Do you think they've gotten used to it, or they're going to fight it, or they're just going to keep going? Or
they're just
going to
do what they do. They don't. Okay. I mean, I don't think any of our kids really care.
Right. They're just
whether or not they're taking. They're not going to, you know, fight about it.
Yeah.
Right.
They're out. They go to practice. They have fun together. I think that's just.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I mean, it should be for fun, right?
Yeah.
All right. Next question, Ronna McIntosh. Has roller derby had any effect on your academic performance in school for your kids, or what you see your kids doing? Or, you know, are you... Some coaches are very hands-on about that kind of stuff. Like, hey, you're doing crappy in school. What's going on? Get your grades up. Or, yeah, you're doing great. You know, you're doing much better now, or whatever. How about the social effects among peers?
As far as academics, like, we've had conversations about that with some of the parents, but... We don't feel like it's our...
No.
We don't have any say as far as, like... But at the same time, like, if a kid's doing crappy in school or has a shitty attitude at home, I don't want them to be punished and not come to practice because that hurts the team, ultimately.
Right.
But I was talking with Misinformed, one of our NSOs, and for her daughter on the team, like, they kind of use Derby as, like, that dangling carrot. So if she keeps the grades up, she can keep playing Derby.
Mm-hmm.
I think a few other parents do that, too.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I mean, my parents did that with anything I was doing sports-wise or whatever. They'd be like, if your grades stay up, you can play. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay. You know?
Yeah.
Do they have any social effects among peers? Like, I know you said that you pull from a lot of different places. So have you noticed that kids are more friendly with people they wouldn't be friendly with? Or...
Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely a feeling of acceptance that a lot of kids did not have prior to Derby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost like the experience that I had with adult Derby has completely transferred. And the kids will say that, like, sometimes we have discussions and things, and some of the kids are like, you know, I was weird before I found Derby, you know, like, and it's true. Like, they found something that they didn't know existed that made them feel accepted, that makes them feel important, gives them a feeling of... accomplishment.
I think it was El Diablo that when she first starts, she kind of smiles, so they're just like me, and went out there and skate with everyone.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good feeling. I mean, when you find your weirdos, you need to stick with your weirdos, and I think, and it can be pretty awkward. Now, what is the age group for Raleigh Junior Rollers?
It's now 8 to 17.
Okay. How does that work? So, say you have a 16-year-old and you have a 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
How do you have that?
Do you have that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so how does that work on the track?
It's almost
or
like a big brother, big sister, little brother, little sister kind of thing. You know, our older skaters take care of our younger skaters, and they, you know, coach them, and they walk them through things, and they talk to them, and they treat them just like
family,
like,
or
like a teammate. I mean, they're
very
not
protective on the track too. I think Dawson, who was on the team, laid out someone for hitting Zora that was 9 at the time.
Right. So that's got to be strange just for the size know, differences out there. And I'm not familiar enough with Junior Roller Derby. Can you explain how some of that works?
Like, well, I mean, once you pass, so there's level 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, level 1, you're just learning the game. It's positional blocking only, no contact at all.
Mm-hmm.
Level 2 is lean blocking. You know, you're learning a little bit more about contact. And level 3 is full-on smashing hits.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're level 3, you're level 3, whether you're 7 or whether you're 16.
Okay.
But if a level 3 player is playing, you know, say a 17-year-old is playing with an 8-year-old, and they're both level 3s, the 17-year-old's not going to lay out that. You know, I mean, it's don't be a douchebag. You just don't be a dick, basically.
Right.
You know,
you try to do more positional blocking, or you see that kind of thing going on.
Or just, you know, pull back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hurt him.
Yeah. There's no need. It's not necessary.
Yeah, I agree. I was just curious how that ran. Was that, you know, were there any other
We
roles?
Have never, we've played, you know, dozens of games and never had anybody be an asshole.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, asshole is the human condition universally, so it's nice to see that it's not there for that. All right, next question. This is from David Burns. He says, why are guys in Derby treated so poorly? And there's a follow-up from Kathy Van Derostein, and she says, especially the older ones.
Ah. I actually asked David about this, what he meant by it. And apparently there's a different set. It's kind of a double standard. There's a different set of rules for boys as opposed to girls in some games. I would not care for that.
Right.
I think it's sexist.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand it. And then I talked to another parent from Florida, and he said that he thought it had to do with the age breakdown and the size differences, not so much boys or girls.
Right.
So I think it depends. Our boys have never, I don't feel like, been treated any differently. So going on my own experience, I don't feel like it's a boy-girl thing.
And you always play other co-ed teams, so they're always kind of in the same
boat
we are,
yeah.
So it's always been balanced.
So you don't really, you're not seeing that, but I think some other
leagues have definitely felt that, and that's what I got, you know, my feedback from asking around.
Mm-hmm.
We were pretty close with another team in Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
Go Fruit Loops, there you go. but we have, got some feedback from them too, and they definitely feel like some of the boys are called on hits that might not be called if they were a girl.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Now, I know that you guys are co-ed, so have you ever run into, and I've heard this, and I don't know if it still is a problem in roller derby, junior roller derby especially, but I've heard of teams that are like, we only play all female teams, or we won't play mm-hmm. co-ed teams. We only want to play the girls from your team.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of that going on? You don't have to, you don't be specific, mm-hmm. but is it still out there?
Yeah, it's still out there.
It's out there.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people that were like adamantly, we only play girls, are kind of changing their tune a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll bend the rules. And some of the girls that don't want to play boys won't play. You
right.
know? So,
right.
I mean, it's... But we're not going to play without our boys. You know?
Well, right. So, I mean, you guys have committed to the co-ed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be fair.
Right.
And I think it's interesting. And I think it, you know, it's just how we've been raised as a society, is that you don't do, you know, contact sports with the opposite sex. You mm-hmm. just don't. I mean, mm-hmm. that's pretty much how the whole world has always treated it, you know,
yeah.
and now roller derby has broken the gender barrier in several different ways. You know, mm-hmm. we have female teams playing male teams, you have women playing on men's teams, mm-hmm. you have, you know, undifferentiated people that don't identify with either gender playing on whatever team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we're making those statements, and I think it's going to trickle down into mm-hmm. to junior roller derby. It
right.
should, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, I still think there's that protective parent.
Yeah,
that's probably a little bit hovering over their daughter, and mm-hmm. doesn't, you know, sees a giant guy on the track, and some boys are big.
Yeah,
you know,
and some girls are big.
Oh, some girls are very big.
Yeah,
you know, they don't live in Raleigh, evidently, because we'd love to have them on the team. But you know, when we go and we go play Midwest teams, they're all very big. So, mm-hmm. but yeah, I think they feel a little protective, and right. I don't blame them. You know, mm-hmm. it's just kind of how we were raised, unfortunately.
Well, another one of the things that one of the dads brought up was that. Some of the teams will not allow their girls to play against co-ed teams or boys because they feel like the boys will sexualize them.
Ew.
Yeah.
On the track?
Yeah. And that's not something that ever occurred to me as a female playing co-ed
no.
or as, you know, as an adult female playing co-ed or with my kids playing. Both my kids played, boy
right.
and girl. And it never even occurred to me. So...
Who has time? I mean, I barely have time to think about yeah. what's going on the track.
But I do know that there are some men that don't like their
wives
to play,
we have some women in our league that their husbands really would prefer that never to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when we played Collision last year,
mm-hmm.
we had a few that were on the All-Stars that did not play.
Mm-hmm.
They stepped out because they had, you know, significant others that were like, please don't,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Was that a safety thing?
I think it was a safety thing, and I think it just feels weird to see a guy hitting your wife, maybe, you know, and maybe they don't
It never even occurred to me.
Yeah, and I don't think it was a sexual thing. I don't think that they thought, hey, they're really getting off on... I mean, everybody is really gross when you're out there. If you've ever played roller derby, you know that the smell alone is just enough to, like, knock back any sort of romantic
Nothing
feelings.
Like a hit check to the crotch to
yeah.
turn me on.
Yeah.
Right?
Nothing like being put on your face or, have, like, getting your face into somebody's sweat pads, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're just like, whoop.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing sexy about it
no.
when you're playing. It's not sexy time. But...
Nope.
I mean, some people, I guess maybe they watch it and it's sexy time for them. I don't know. I'm not saying that's everybody, but I think there's probably a little bit of that. All right, next question. Michelle Lee says, what is a good age to start derby? My 5-year-old wants to play. He is huge. He's the size of an 8-year-old.
He should wait till he's 8.
Yeah. You think it's too early, 5. I would think.
They can't understand the rules. They
right.
don't understand the nuances of the play. Unless your 5-year-old is a genius, you know, which might be.
Mozart.
But
Mozart
we're still not going to take the chance on.
Right. So and I guess a good question would be, would it be good to start teaching him how to skate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Get the boy on skates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what do you suggest for that? Do you suggest, like, real skates or the plastic ones? Or what do you guys...
Real skates.
Real skates.
Real
okay.
skates and skate lessons if and just time on skates.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that's all anybody... needs really is time on skates,
yeah.
getting used to the skates, getting used to your feeling on skates, getting your balance, your center of gravity, learning what skates can do and what they can't do.
Right.
They can do that from 5 to 8.
Yeah, and then join.
And then come and learn.
Yeah. And maybe...
I ain't hanging with no 5-year-old.
No, I wouldn't want to either, but I think it's a good idea if they're interested in skating, you know, start them off there. I would get them maybe with a skate coach that's a hockey skate coach because
yeah.
the edges
yeah.
and... teaching them how to do
mm-hmm.
all the stops or even, you know, learning what an edge is.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many... I know that you and I started our careers without... Daisy and I started our careers without toe stops.
Mm-hmm.
And it is amazing to me that people just use them for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I look and I'm like, you don't know how to do, you know,
Oh,
this?
I totally regressed. I'm all about toe stops now.
Oh, are you? I mean, I like them.
I have to make myself use
edges. Oh, I love my edges. And it's funny because when we have the newer, and I mean newer, like the last 4 years mm-hmm. or so, and they're like all the toe stops, and you're just
I didn't get toe stops until 2012.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really terrifying when we did. I was like, what am I doing? You know, because they weren't the right ones. Mm-hmm. They were up too high. Mm-hmm. Horrible. All right, next question. Brianna Kappel says, have these juniors also faced the feeling of not being taken seriously? Okay, we gotta read that one. Sorry. Merle Pinkins, what is the biggest struggle you've had to overcome in roller derby in general? This could be a junior derby moment. This could be your personal career moment. This could be your coaching. We can go around.
I think the universal mm-hmm. for me, like kids, adults, me, I can't answer for you guys, but just feeling like everybody's better than you.
And I always feel like that.
And
I still feel like that.
Yeah. I think that's probably the thing that you have to overcome.
I just feel like people are better than I am at certain things, and I'm better than some people at other things. But I don't really worry about it too much. I just try my best when I'm out there. I'm like, I'm just going to do what I can do. Mm-hmm. You know, I do me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think my biggest thing of overcoming was trying to have this idea that I had to prove it to mm-hmm. someone else mm-hmm. as opposed to knowing it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that took a long time. I mean, that took a long time to shake off.
Well, I think and realizing, too, that I'm not good at that, but I can do this.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah, yeah.
The compensation kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. So, Walter, what was your biggest thing?
As far as coaching, is just trying to figure out how to coach. I mean,
mm-hmm. It's hard.
Derby is the first thing I've ever coached before, so I'm trying to think, like, all right, well, what are we doing in collision? Try to bring that in, but then try to, if I have to, like, water it down because the kids don't have those skills yet.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's hard when you have a mixed bag of skills, too, when you have skaters that have, you know, some skaters that barely can skate, and then mm-hmm. you have some skaters that are very proficient, and mm-hmm. to make a practice interesting for that group of people and all those in between, it's
well, and yeah, and you always have those people that think that they're amazing, that are amazing, that think they're amazing, people that think they're not amazing but they are, and then, you know, mm-hmm. and vice versa, people that think they're amazing and they're not really.
Because, like, with the league practice, like, we have all the all-stars in there, and we have mm-hmm. like level threes that just passed level three, so they have all these skills they know, but they have to try to figure out how to use them together and
mm-hmm.
how to play derby and try to make a practice that they can all benefit from.
Yeah, so it's just like regular.
It's exactly. I mean, there's been very little other than like the ramping up and the learning curve in the first couple years
mm-hmm.
that's different than adult derby.
Now, so. Do you guys have this issue? And I find this probably more with adult women than I do with adult men. And I was just wondering if you had it with the kids, is that, you know, there are those skaters that are out there that are just terrified of making a mistake, so they won't.
Mm-hmm.
They choose not to. In other words, they're in a drill and they're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going to fail. Like, everybody fails at the drill, or everybody fails at some part of the drill. And instead of accepting that, they just won't do it. Or they
I think
quit.
That's less in junior derby.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Because they don't have that fear yet. They don't have that. Some, you know, some of them do a little bit, but not nearly to the extent that I saw in adult derby.
And I mostly see that with the women.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, that's not a dig at female roller derby. That is just my, you know, mm-hmm. I've gone out and I've trained other people, and I see it then too. They're afraid. It's like they've been told their whole lives that they have to be perfect at everything.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, they'd rather just not do it than not be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very frustrating as someone that's trying to come in and train.
Right.
You know, you're just like, no, you're supposed to fail at this. You're mm-hmm. going to fail. Nobody does, you know. Yeah. I could give an example. Last night we were doing a 20-foot single blocker versus a single jammer.
Mm-hmm.
And we had people that were pissed because they lost a jammer after 10 feet. I'm like, you realize.
You kept her 10 feet.
10 feet. Yeah. Even if you keep her for 5 feet, you know, you're doing something that I have never seen anyone keep someone of any caliber of a jammer for 20 feet by themselves. It's just mm-hmm. not going to happen.
Except for bisexual.
Well, yeah. But she's just amazing. But, you know, so, but instead they were just like, they'd rather fail
mm-hmm.
than
not try.
They're just like, I'm just going to not do it, or I'm just going to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very frustrating thing. Mm-hmm. All right, next question. Violent O-trauma. The continued gender bias in reference to calls that refs make in regards to big hits on male or female skaters. Evidently, it's still a problem for people, and I think in adult derby and junior derby, it's a problem. Do you feel like that, Walter? You're kind of a big guy. Do you ever get called on things that you're like, really?
Sometimes I do, but then if I kind of look back at it, it's actually I did do something wrong, or maybe like I did, you know, throw that elbow before.
You're too nice.
You're right, I did it.
But I mean, I think there's sometimes, if there's a discrepancy between levels of teams that are playing, I think the team that's the better team sometimes gets a little bit more of those calls because mm-hmm. the refs are like, really, can't you just pull it back a little mm-hmm. bit? And you're like, I'm just trying to play roller derby. And you're not trying to be that asshole out there. I mean, mm-hmm. I have never deliberately gone out to be an asshole anytime. But as a tall woman...
Never?
No. Nope. But as a tall woman, I get a lot of crap for a lot of things that I do. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, you have to really pull it in. You're like, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to do this. Yeah. You know. And I was just wondering, as a bigger guy, because you are bigger. So how tall are you?
5'10".
You're 5'10", and you're kind of got big shoulders, yeah. So, yeah.
I thought she called you fat.
I did not. I was asking Nathan about this, because Nathan and I have the same build. So mm-hmm. he gets called on things, the same things I get called on. Mm-hmm. It must be because we're tall.
And we've I got get this, called on low blocks.
You get called on, well, and I think short people do get called mm-hmm. on low blocks, even when it's not a low block. You know, yeah. I've been blocked... And the girl has been sitting right above my knee, and it's perfect. Like, it is a perfect... You're like, damn it. And they're like, low block. And I'm like, it's not a low block. You know, it's actually very legal. But, you know, they don't ask the people that are mm-hmm. getting the foul. So, that's good. Do you think it's going to continue this way with the reffing? Do you think men are probably going to get more calls
yes.
against men? You know, women or bigger people get more
probably.
Calls? And
probably.
What do you think we can do to fix that? Is there something we can do to fix it?
Just knowledge and experience, I think.
Yeah. Maybe have some more, like, ref clinics, try to build up the knowledge and get some, like, get them, like, practice more games and kind of get more experience with different body types and how they hit, so.
Well, that's why I was thinking that I think refs tend to ref in the same area. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, it makes sense, right? You don't want to drive
all
over.
You ref one team.
Right,
ref,
so,
yeah.
Or you ref one team or one area of the country, and then you see somebody else, you know, like another team comes down from another part of the country mm-hmm. and they have a little bit of a different style of play. And then, you know, those refs are like, well, you know.
Well, and I think, too, seeing the beginning, the middle, and the end of an action is very important, and I think that gets forgotten a lot of times.
In the heat of the moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I do, too. I think, and I know that it's not, once again, a thing that you can actually have happen, I would really like to see some of the refs play a little bit of roller derby so they can see what impact mm-hmm. actually is instead of...
Well, I think all skaters should ref.
I do, too.
I think every skater should have to ref.
Yes. Not necessarily in a sanctioned game,
no.
but, you know,
no.
at
but
practice
just
or...
Just to learn.
Yeah, just to learn. It is hard.
To see how
yeah.
hard it is.
It is.
Then you won't be such a dick to the refs.
Or, you know, like I said, I think impact intellectually mm-hmm. is different than impact when someone hits you
mm-hmm.
and just pushes you down or runs over you or, you know, whatever, and you're just like, really? And they're like, nope, that was legal. And you're like, come here, let me hit you this way and see how you think it feels. And I know that's not realistic, but I think it might help a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is the intellectual penalty, and then there's an actual feeling of someone's knee in your back.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, this really hurt. Okay, yeah, they didn't kill me, but
right.
this really hurts, mm-hmm. you know. Isn't that safety one of our number one concerns? All right, next question. This is anonymous, and she said it's a possible topic. I struggle with the newer skaters, and I think she means adult skaters, but I'm going to ask you about this mm-hmm. in a junior derby situation. I struggle with the new skaters using the term bitches so freely. Empowerment in the sport takes on a new vocabulary that's so anti-feminist. Maybe it's me wrestling with a new generation of skaters.
Our kids don't say that.
That's good. This is where I'm going to ask you. As a person that came from adult derby and you're in junior derby now,
mm-hmm.
isn't it hard to control your swearing?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
Okay. Does that cause any issues?
Not yet.
No. Okay.
We'll see you Sunday.
Yeah.
We'll see what the parents listening have to say.
Well, I'm just curious about it because
I don't censor myself very much. I don't feel like I don't curse at the children.
No,
you know
no,
what I mean?
No, no,
I don't
no.
call them bitches.
No.
But, you know, I'll let a S word slip out every once
mm-hmm.
in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know.
As that junior slips by you because you didn't get over fast enough.
I know. Yeah. If I can't stop my son from jamming.
Yeah.
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 Little motherfucker.
Well, do you guys, I don't think you guys use as much cursing in your league as our all women's league does. I don't think the men curse nearly as much.
Because we learned
from
Roxy Rocket.
Yeah, that's true. Every other word. But I really do feel like we have new levels of expression using all curse words ever in our league.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that with your guys' practices very much. Now, of course, you know, Juice is there skating with his polite as fuck helmet when the kids were there the one time. And I'm like, cover up your helmet, damn it.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if they're at your practice, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Good point. That's your practice.
Now, what do you think about this idea that some of the younger or newer skaters are coming in and calling people bitches and all this other stuff?
No, that wouldn't fly. We wouldn't allow it.
It wouldn't fly, honestly, with our league either.
No.
It just doesn't. We're not denigrating people. We're cursing because we're, like, angry at something we did.
Or we're just really happy and that's how we talk.
Or like, fucking yay, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I think people think that when they get into roller derby, they can do anything they want and be this badass. And there's
it's almost like they use the term bitches as a you know, kind of to bring people together kind of thing.
Right.
Like, all us bitches together, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Keep that crap over there, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we don't really do that. All right, so next question is from Tara Armoff. I've read that a majority of girl athletes drop out of their sport of choice during puberty or when they graduate high school. Why is that, and how is junior derby trying to change that dynamic? That's a deep question, Tara.
It is.
Well, I don't think, like, junior derby is trying to change that dynamic, but I feel like a lot of our kids started, like, my daughter started right before puberty.
Right.
Tiffany's daughter started at puberty.
Right.
Aspen started at puberty. Or right beforehand. Like, if you look at pictures of them 2 years ago and now, it's like they started right
on the cusp.
Yeah.
I think a lot of kids start on 11 and 12 just before puberty kicks in.
Yeah. And, like, so we've seen, like, a huge change. And if anything, it's helped shape them and shape their, like, the view of themselves. And they're much stronger, more confident in a lot of ways. And I don't know. Like, so, I mean... Now, you know, there are a couple girls that started and got distracted by shiny things. and that happens,
right.
You know, like we talked about earlier. I mean, it just, some of them are going to stick with it and some of them aren't. And I don't know that it has to do with anything with age. It has to do with personality.
Well, I think when I started volleyball, let's just say, you know, I was doing volleyball in junior high school back then when they had junior high school. And we moved someplace where we had marching band, and I was always in marching band too, but you know, in junior high school to high school, that you start to ratchet down your schedule a little bit. Your academic schedule becomes a little bit more rigorous. You know, you have to make different choices.
Right.
And marching band ran the exact season that volleyball did, for, you know, women's volleyball did. So I had to make a choice. And marching band, I was in it since seventh grade, so I wasn't going to choose volleyball. You know, I'd only been that for like a couple of years. So I think that's the problem. I think you get into, especially if it's an academic, you know, situation with your sports, is that you have to make a decision. This is when the season runs, and you can't play this sport concurrent with this sport. But roller derby is a little bit more open, because it runs pretty much all year. So you don't have this like specific season and you can't do anything else during this time. And
right.
You know, we monopolize your entire life during this time. And I think maybe that will help people stick with it a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And I think, you know, we have a couple kids, like one played soccer and so he would be there less when there was soccer going on. And one plays football. He plays less when football's going on. And so derby takes a back seat to football. But for, you know, like, neither one of my kids ever played any sport. Nothing stuck.
Right.
You know, we tried everything. We played gymnastics, soccer, dance, everything. Derby's the only thing that stuck. You know, and they're going into their third year doing it. I don't, you know.
Yeah, I think that's... But I do think that it's going to lend itself to keeping the kid more involved with it. Because, like I said, you know, some of these soccer teams that are, like, competitive, super competitive soccer teams, they're out there five times a week.
Well, and that's another thing. I think we'd have more of an issue if we had weekday practices, but we don't.
Exactly.
So, I mean, the teams that have, like, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday might see more of that than we do.
Well, and you might see burnout, too, with that.
Like, over break, we had, like, a Wednesday practice, too.
Right.
Granted, it was break.
Right.
But I had maybe two or three kids show up, and then the newer skaters learning skills.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like, what we would do a non-contact practice during our breaks. But that's, you know, that's what I was thinking, you know, during when I saw this question, was that will it help? I do think it will, because it'll be easier to stick with it. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to, this is the only time this is offered and you can't take anything right. else during this time. Well, that's very, you know, you have to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And that's the decision you make sometimes. It's like, you have to make your choices, right? And roller derby can be continual.
Right. And you can do all-stars or you can just do home teams. Exactly. You can back and forth it. You don't have to.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, nothing written in blood. You don't have to stick with it.
No blood.
Nope.
Yeah. We got something for that? Every kid. So, not so if yet. They want to be that competitive, we have the all-star. If they don't,
that's the next team.
That's the next team. It's the Blood Dodgers. Very nice. But I mean, seriously, I think that's what's going to help. And I think it'll be really great. And I hope to see more young girls involved in any kind of sports, mm-hmm. because it is so uplifting. Mm-hmm. And it's a good sport, too, because it's not one of these sports where it's a body intense, like, you know, gymnastics, there's, hey, you're too big. Mm-hmm. You know, dance, you're too big.
No,
you know,
it's every shape, right, every size. Shape. Yeah.
So it's a very empowering sport, and I think that's exactly what young girls need, especially mm-hmm. when they're going through turbulent, you know, God, the hormones mm-hmm. and the depression and the...
I don't think I've ever heard any of our girls talk about body image.
That's good.
Ever.
That's really, that's very refreshing to hear.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next question, Justin Ann. How can Derby Widows be more supportive without taking over?
Just don't.
Yeah, just don't. Well, and I think, you know, it's easy to say, but I think people, you know, they get involved and then they're like, they get the Derby bug too, right? They want more.
But a Derby Widow is not supposed to have anything to do with Derby. That's why they're a widow. I don't get it.
I guess meaning, you know, helping, like supporting with coaching mm-hmm. or, you know, doing reffing or, you know, that situation.
A widow sits at home. No, that's not a Derby widow.
I agree with you.
That's a volunteer.
Or, you know,
start with NSOing, see how that goes. And...
yeah. Or announcing.
Yeah.
You know, there are quite a few amazing announcers out there, but for home teams or teams that are in the local area, mm-hmm. it's really hard for us to find announcers. So that's something that wouldn't be team or, you know, you wouldn't yeah. be like stuck in telling the team what to do because
right.
you're
they
supposed
wouldn't be
to
be coaching.
Right. You're more neutral. Mm-hmm. But you could watch the team because you'd get to learn the players and stuff like that, but you wouldn't be there. You know, you wouldn't have your hands in it.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a really good decision. If you have a skill, like a paramedic, that would be a really good decision, you know, to be having a paramedic there instead of all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's my favorite thing. Like, so if you can help on the sidelines and that's all you want to do, great. But if you feel like you're one of these people that you must run everything that ever happens ever.
Yeah. Step off.
Yeah, step off. This yeah. is not your thing.
Or talk to your spouse and see what
Talk to your spouse, right?
Yeah.
You know? And don't get your feelings hurt if the team doesn't want your help.
Right.
Because, I mean, there's some situations where people are like, well, I'd be a great coach. And the team's like, you're not a great coach. It's okay. You know, you're just not the coach we want or need right now. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's the team's decision. It's mm-hmm. not a judgment, a personal judgment against yeah. you. All right. Next question. Hi, all. I was wondering what other leagues do in terms of asking skaters to learn and internalize the rules. We, of course, ask skaters to independently read them. Oh, my God. Really? It's so boring. We discuss them regularly at practice, have an open book rules test, and have training scrimmages to specifically focus on some rules, but newer skaters are still having trouble learning them. Any suggestions? Thanks in advance. So, what do you guys do with the kids?
Well, we do, like, rules tests and stuff like that, and we do rules games.
Yeah, each mm-hmm. Each level has specific rule tests they have to pass before they're officially level 1, 2, or 3.
Right.
But even then, like, taking the rules test, you may be able to read the rules and understand them. But if I throw you in a scrimmage, you're going to forget everything.
Well, sure.
Like, first game, I read the rules 3 times. So they got on the track, it was gone.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, I think we have skaters that have skated for 7 years yeah. that don't know all
I
the
didn't
rules.
Realize I didn't know some of the rules until I started reffing. And
right.
I'm like, I've been doing this for 8 years, and I didn't know that was the yeah. rule.
Right. It's kind of, I mean, it becomes kind of legalese mm-hmm. if you read it yeah. too much. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. Is there anything else you guys do to help the kids? Or, you know, do you discuss rules? Do you...
Well,
you have like a weird play, and then you're like, "Hey, we're
yeah,
talking about
this rule." We stop stuff during practice, mm-hmm. During scrimmage, during games, point things out, or say like, "This happened at a game this past weekend. We need to discuss this." That mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah.
But to internalize it though, they need to just do it.
Yeah.
You know, so the only way to
spend time on it,
the only way to really learn it is scrimmaging.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It sounds like she's pretty much covering every way to learn the rules.
We actually have the refs do a, we call it, I called it ref story time. And we all sit down after the scrimmage because mm-hmm. that's the only time we have the refs there really mm-hmm. engaged with us. And we're like, hey, so I'm always like, hey, if something weird happens to you and you get a weird call during scrimmage, just put a pin in it. Don't bother them right now, but mm-hmm. we're going to talk about it during story time, and all those skaters will be like, hey, I had a call, and you know, then we talk about it. I think the one that comes up the most is the panty pass.
Mm-hmm.
God, I mean, people still don't understand the panty pass. They don't understand when it's legal, when it's not legal, when you're out of bounds, down. I mean, we go through the pantomime of the panty pass probably mm-hmm. like once every 3 weeks with some skaters, mm-hmm. and they still don't, you know. Mm-hmm. But we definitely have that time where we could sit down. It's good to know what they don't know.
Right.
Like, when you don't realize it, you know, especially if you have newer skaters scrimmaging, and you're skating along, and they get called to the box, and they go the wrong way, mm-hmm. you know? And you're like, oh, man, we didn't...
Or, like, one of our juniors, because in practice, sometimes we don't have a penalty right, box. So they just skate. They do skate laps, and so that's what she tried to do in the game. It's like, oh, no.
No, go! I was up at one of the mixed scrimmages, you know, the Christmas scrimmages that, like, River City had, mm-hmm. and there were some... very fresh meat mm-hmm. and they were doing that, like, one girl just kept skating around and we're like, go to the box. I know, she was like, what do I have to do? I don't know what to do, you know. I was just laughing because I was like, yeah, you forget mm-hmm. those things
because, yeah, you forget the little things that yeah. you don't know that they don't know.
Yeah, you're yeah. right. Or their feet are behind the line mm-hmm. you know, during the jam start, and you're like, ah, crap, we gotta go over this, or mm-hmm. you know, it's funny what comes up when you have these refs story time, because mm-hmm. they ask questions and you're like, oh my gosh, we've never covered that. Mm-hmm. You know, we just assumed everybody knew that.
Right.
And you forget, you know, if you've been playing for a while, you forget what it was like when you first started. Mm-hmm. You didn't know.
Some of the ones you had to cover a few weeks ago was a pivot start.
Oh yeah. Nobody knows the pivot lines.
Because it happened in one of our games and the kids were just like,
had no clue.
Yeah. No, get behind her hips.
What?
Yeah.
I actually used that and we were up at Kalamazoo up there. And one of the things, and I actually did a pivot start like that, and I was looking at the ref. I was like, see this? And they called.
Our kids got 3 penalties in yep. one start because.
Well, I honestly was surprised. I didn't know who the ref was, but I was really surprised that the ref knew that rule. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I know that they know all the rules, blah, 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 but that one is so archaic mm-hmm. and not used anymore. I was like...
That's why it's become a big deal, because it's yeah. still
it
in there.
It came back this past season. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's very funny, but it has. And it yeah. is really... I was, like, making, you know, doing this, like, you see this? You better call this. I'm doing work here, you know? I was like, yes! It made me laugh. All right, alternatives to sport court or skate court when moving a league into their own rental space. Is sport court, and here's the part of the question I want to answer, is sport court really the hell that everyone makes it out to be?
It depends on the sport court.
Yes.
There's so many different types out there. Like the one that was at the Pivot Center
yes.
Was amazing.
Yes.
Appalachian has an amazing one.
Do they have a good one?
Yeah. I love theirs.
I've never skated on that one.
But if you went to like the Sportsplex in Greensboro,
yeah, that one's
City used to practice.
Terrible.
Rose City different... has the shittiest one ever.
Which one?
Rose
City. Oh, really? So. Yeah, the one where Camel City used to practice, it literally is a hybrid of two sport court and a skate court. So you don't know what you know. You're like on it, and all of a sudden you're sliding or you're yeah. stuck.
Green
you're
is like slick, but blue isn't.
So yeah, you're like, yeah. What is this? And honestly, when we went down to Beach Brawl, we were on sport court. And it was terrible. It wasn't the worst sport court in the world, but it was sluggish, mm-hmm. yeah. and it was tiresome.
Well, then you have the cheese grater kind, yes. and you've got the slick kind, and you've got the sticky kind.
Yeah, I hate sport court. I hate it.
I would much rather have concrete.
Concrete, me too. I mean...
Or wood.
And I haven't even skated on wood in so long, I still would prefer it. Unless it's completely coated with the, you know, that...
That sticky stuff.
Yeah, I hate that. But, I mean, I know that so many leagues have sport court. It just, bleh, you know, every time. And it, you know, it dirties up my wheels. My wheels get completely full of crap because mm-hmm. it just, the stuff between the tiles starts coming up. And you're just like, this is disgusting. Mm-hmm. I hate this, you know. Yep. I think Cape Fear has one of those sport courts that really just takes all your energy when
you're
skating.
It's a slow one, yeah.
Yeah, it's super slow. And I don't know, you know, why people were like, this is a perfect thing. This is a perfect, you know, I'm like, ugh, mm-hmm. can we just have the concrete?
Yeah. Go skate at Appalachian.
Right, yeah, isn't really nice. That's cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so you like concrete? You like concrete yeah. as well. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the where you guys practice at Wheels? What do you think of that floor? I think it's a terrible wood floor, but
you can never prepare for it because it's different every week.
It is different every week.
I mean, I skate a 97, so sometimes they're perfect. Other times I plow and I'd still skid 20 feet. Oh, yeah,
because we used to have our home games there. Yeah. And I would literally, we had no idea what the floor would be like at any moment. You'd just get on it, you'd be like, whoop, that was that was a mistake, or, oh, this is great, you know. And I don't know why that is with them, because the skate ranch pretty much was, which is now
United Skates.
It's pretty much the same every time you get on it. So I don't know what Wheels is doing, other than maybe just not leaving the air on or something.
I've been spoiled by G-Sword's floor. I love that warehouse.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's a little slick, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Is there any safe way to clean wheels without removing bearings? My wheels are so dirty and gross, they're covered in black spots that I have a hard time scratching off. By the way, that's skin.
Get out.
Yep, it's skin, especially if you've been skating in a dirty place. That's skin flakes. Advice from experience, especially...
You made that up.
No, I'm not. It's skin.
You're telling lies.
I'm not. It's gross. That's what's on the sport court, by the way, so that's gunk that comes off the sport court.
Okay, now you're just lying.
Nope. All right, so how do you guys clean your wheels?
I don't.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
You know, baby wipes or Clorox wipe, just to kind of scrub them down.
Do you ever do that during a game?
I'll use like a wet cloth, but I don't use wipes.
We did it in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Because the floor was pretty, it was like a really slick polished concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of dampened the wheels. You had to wipe or to get the dirt off, or we got a towel and got the wheels wet and that every other jam.
I like the terry cloth towel and
wet.
I
generally don't have a problem. If there's something gross on my wheels, I can skate it off. Usually, like, burn it off with stopping. My wheels don't get too gross. It's my bearings get destroyed, especially at the practice space we're in right now. The bearings are just, it's so much dust, you know, that they just, you know, freeze up on you. And you're like, oh, well, new bearings. Because, I mean, there's really a point where you just can't clean them. You can't go through and clean them. So you can leave them on your skates as long as you're wiping them with a damp towel if you want to, like, scrub them down. But I wouldn't use anything more than a damp towel or some wipes.
Yeah.
But if your wheels are so dirty, then your bearings probably need to be cleaned
anyway. Yeah, you need to pop all that stuff out.
Yeah.
And what I used to do when I clean my bearings is throw the wheel into a bucket of, you know, soapy water, warm water, let that, and then clean the bearings separately. I mean, you might as well do everything all at once, you know.
Or just buy new bearings.
Yeah, that too.
You can get bones for $20.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to save some money, yo. All right, next question. Just passed Fresh Meat, hurrah, and have a couple games coming up. Hurrah, oh my god. But I'm having trouble keeping my arms and elbows out of the way, to the point tonight the ref said I would have gotten an expulsion as I ended up knocking someone on the head with my elbow several times. I didn't even notice. I've been trying just to pin my arms somewhere, but I feel like I need them free to help me balance, so they pop right off and I forget to put them away again. I feel this person's pain, by the way. Has anyone got tips on how to overcome the issues or exercises or drills or any suggestions would be fantastic. The thought of being expelled at my first game ever appalls me.
Well, I mean, that's an experience thing. I mean, you're just gonna have to get used to it. I mean, we used to have that thing, we called it Hold Your Michaels.
Yes, go ahead, tell it, explain it.
Where you basically grab your inner thigh with the hand that you're hitting with. So like, so your hand stays down in between your legs while you're hitting. So it's basically a crawl. Call it Hold Your Michaels. It's like a Michael Jackson thing.
And I think it's a core strengthening thing. I think if you strengthen your core a lot more, and it's going to take a while, so you might flop around.
But it's a desperation thing, too.
Yes, like absolutely. You're trying to catch somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the way roller derby's played now, you know, some blockers are encouraged to hold their, you know, they hold their arms out. And so that gives them the, you know, the appearance of being bigger on the track, but they're really not, because you can only block up to the elbow and holding. So, I mean, you can learn to put them out. I used to drive, like, you could see me drive my invisible car when I was hitting someone. I'd put them way far away from where I was hitting.
There's a good picture of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of pictures of me going beep beep. But it's something that you need to learn, but it's the strength in your core that needs to be there, and you got to work on your core. I mean, all the hits that you give and do are going to be better if you have a stronger core, so you're probably not going to need that arm to balance you. I mean, you have a wicked hit. You know, you just wham, you destroy people. How did you learn to do that?
I separated my shoulder.
Oh, okay. Well, but I mean,
that's when I started using my hips more.
Okay. So, because your hip hits are really devastating. I saw, you know, I'd be like, look, don't go to Daisy's, you know, side, because she can really just pop you out.
But I think, but, you know, to answer that question, as far, it's just going to take experience, like you said, core strength,
mm-hmm.
and time. I mean, you might have to get expelled at your first game just because you don't know better yet. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, and you... Look, everybody does something stupid when they're skating. Everybody has a list of things that they have to work on.
They don't even realize they're doing.
Yeah, and I have a list of things that I have a million lists. It keeps getting longer. Like mm-hmm. my list of things that I need to correct keep getting longer, but I'm seeing very little. You know, like I'm seeing increments that are very small in the corrections because they're more precise things now. Mm-hmm. But when I first started, I had like. Two things on my list that I wanted to correct. One was the arm going on mm-hmm. the outside, and the other one, I forget what it was at the time, but I mean, they were big things, and you could see bigger improvement because I was so bad that any improvement looked good, mm-hmm. you know? So give yourself some slack. You need to see that improvement.
Right.
And you need to know that it's going to take time.
Well, yeah. And one of the things we tell the kids too, because they are very army, because they're so new,
right,
is to hit with their back, not with
yes.
their shoulder.
Yeah, like to turn.
To hit shoulder, not you know, because if you hit with your shoulder, you're going to follow through with your arm.
Right.
So if you hit more with your back and your side thing, then
yeah,
or just take another step. That's mm-hmm. what I used to tell newbies that you know when they were having arm problems is that they weren't moving with their bodies mm-hmm. enough. They were trying to overcome with their upper body mm-hmm. into the person, so they need to move their feet.
Right.
It's funny, you know, your feet, you can walk all day long, you can dance, whatever. As soon as you get on skates, people, when they go in to hit somebody, they just plant their feet and
they do.
They don't want to move them, and then they're doing all this stuff, you know, with their shoulders. Guys use a lot more of their upper body, so how do you guys not get the forearms and stuff like that? What do you do to train your skaters?
What I do when I first started skating was I would, like, grab this side.
Yeah.
That way, the opposite side.
I used to grab my bra strap, too. Yeah. That's the other thing I did.
That way, when I do the hit, I'm not going to go fall with the arm because I'm holding on to myself. Mm-hmm. Or grab the pocket on the opposite side so mm-hmm. it keeps your arm down.
What do you tell your guys, like, when you're training them?
We try to tell them that, or we do the paper plates under the armpits.
I don't think guys are nearly as elbowy as girls, though.
I don't know. I see it a lot. Like, if you watch guys' games, I don't think it doesn't become a part of the hit.
Mm-hmm.
I think the refs are better at seeing that with the guys because mm-hmm. they do so much upper body stuff. But they do tuck their arms a little bit more. When, you know, they do the chest, across the chest thing a lot.
I feel like when I get hit by a guy, it's way more torso than it is arm.
Yeah.
So, whereas with a girl, it's a lot more arm.
It could be both, you know. I think it helps... Also, to be in a wall formation, if you're in one of these tripods, you're probably not going to use your arms because you're braced on someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that helps. That might be another way to do it. Be a tractor trailer and learn to hit people that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, practice that because your arms are holding on to somebody else and so you can't use them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, and you're balanced and then you don't need your core to be as strong. So mm-hmm. that might be a good way a newer skater can start learning that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those are just all options. Who knows? I mean, it's all going to be different for everybody, and it's going to come together. You're going to have your light bulb moment on the track.
Just click at some point.
Yeah, you're going to be like, oh my God, I could have been doing this the whole time.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so we're almost done. You've wasted another hour with electrocution and Q's tips. So what do you guys have coming up with juniors and for collision and all that stuff?
Well, collision, we have our next game in Greensboro, August 20th.
Okay, who are you guys playing?
The Wrecking Balls are coming up from Columbia.
Oh my gosh.
That's going to be a fun game.
Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at D2s. I would love to be there for that game. It'd be a really fun game. So
that same day, juniors are going to be down in Savannah playing Skate City.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And how far is Savannah for you guys? Is that
it's
a long drive?
5 hours?
Yeah, 5-6 hours.
That's not too bad. So you spend the night?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And is it an all-day event or is it just one game?
We're actually doing... a game, and then a mixed scrimmage, so like our level ones and twos can also play.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we're doing an adult scrimmage after that.
They're very cool.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of adults that do that kind of?
I don't know yet. I haven't looked at the sign-up sheet.
Okay. And the men's team, it's just one game?
Yeah, just the one game.
All right. Are you guys going to host them at practice the next day?
Maybe. I don't know how the after party is going to go. They may not be at practice the next
<We're>,
day.
It is the Wrecking
You're playing
balls,
in Greensboro?
Though. Yeah. So, yeah. So that'll be really fun, and you guys should, you know, where can they get tickets for your games?
Tickets are through our website. You can go to collisionmensderby.com, mm-hmm. go to the store, and you'll see an option for tickets. Or you can check out the Facebook event page. You have a link there as well.
Awesome. Do you guys, are you selling tickets at all for the Savannah game, or do you know of a...
They are. It's I Love Block and Roll is the Facebook, Facebook page.
That's super cute.
Yeah. And Tanya and Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Here's the shout out to them.
There you go. You gotta get your shout outs in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, also, I have a sponsor, houseofskate.net. It used to be derbysupply.net, and now they're House of Skate. And if you use the code ELECTRA, ELEKTRA, all capital letters, it will get you 10% off of your order. So please do that. We're having a contest who gets the most like people using their codes. I mean, it's just for bragging rights, but I want to brag. So please use my code. And thank you so much for listening. And tune in next week. We're going to have the second half of the Derby Injury Prevention Network will be on. Mm-hmm. And he'll be talking about concussions and brain injuries and brain trauma. So thanks so much. And thanks for having your time to come out here. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
Thanks for having us.
Bye-bye.